Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. In today's episode, look at the unrestricted free agents on teams that are falling off the playoff pace, see who might be getting dealt before the NHL trade deadline. We'll dig deep on the waiver wire, injury updates, plus matchups and DFS value plays for Tuesday. But first, let's take a look at Monday's games. We start with Philadelphia, surprising the Bruins with a 3-2 win in overtime. Ivan Provorov had a couple of assists to lead the Flyers. He has 5 points in the past 4 games. Goaltender Brian Elliott saved 27 of 29 shots for Philadelphia. The Flyers have to be grateful anytime they're getting saves because that has been a rare occurrence lately. Edmonton lost 3-2 in overtime in Montreal, and Carey Price only needed to stop 21 of 23 shots in an overtime game to get the win for Montreal. Price has a 903 save percentage in 23 games this season. Not ideal. Now, from that game, I would give credit to Montreal defenseman Joel Edmondson and Shea Weber, who were matched up most frequently against Connor McDavid. And the Montreal controlled better than 60% of play in terms of shots and scoring chances against McDavid. And so, you know, big credit to Edmondson and Weber for that. Ottawa lost 4-3 at Winnipeg. Pierre-Luc Dubois scored a couple of goals for the Jets, a far too rare occurrence so far. That trade from earlier in the season with Dubois coming to Winnipeg and Laine and Roslovic going to Columbus, it seems as though nobody's particularly happy about it. I mean, Dubois is contributing a little bit. I think Roslovic is the one guy who's stepped up, and he's still getting healthy scratched. For Winnipeg, Andrew Kopp had a couple of assists. He's got 11 points in his past 9 games. Fantastic season for Andrew Kopp. Winnipeg winger Nikolaj Ehlers also had a couple of assists. He has 15 points in his past 15 games. For Ottawa, Connor Brown, goal and assist. He has 4 goals and assists during a 4-game goal scoring streak. And for Ottawa, left winger Ryan Zingel had a goal and assist. He has 6 goals and 2 assists in 14 games with Ottawa. Vegas went into St. Louis and laid the smack down 6-1 on the Blues. Vegas defenseman Alec Martinez scored a pair of goals. He has 6 goals and 6 assists in his past 15 games. Vegas left winger William Carrier had 2 assists. He has 5 points in his past 6 games. And Vegas right winger Keegan Kolesar chipped in a couple of assists. And Vegas goaltender Robin Lehner stopped 31 of 32 shots. Lehner has not, he hasn't played a lot this season, but he also hasn't played great this season. So this is important here for Vegas to get him plenty of playing time and get into a groove as they head towards the playoffs. For St. Louis, a bunch of their defensemen, Colton Parayko, so good to have Colton Parayko back in the lineup, Robert Bertuzzo and Vince Dunn, all on the ice for 3 goals against during 5-on-5 play in that game. For Toronto, a 5-3 win at Calgary. The Flames, Michael Backlund scored a pair of goals. He does have 5 points in the past 5 games. Elias Lindholm chipped in a couple of assists. He's 14 points in the past 17 games. That's about where the good news ends for Calgary. For Toronto, Austin Matthews scored a pair of goals, 9 goals and 6 assists in the past 13 games. John Tavares, a goal and assist, second straight game that he's done that. Also for Toronto, William Nylander, a couple of assists. He has 6 points in the past 6 games. Colorado went into Minnesota for a 5-4 win. For Minnesota, Ryan Hartman, a goal and 2 assists. He has 5 points in the past 5 games. Marcus Johansson and Nick Bjugstad both had a goal and assist for the Wild as well. For Colorado, Andrei Burakovsky, a goal and assist. He's got 5 points in the past 4 games. And Nathan MacKinnon, another a goal and assist. He has 10 points during a 6-game point streak. And Colorado defenseman Sam Girard had 2 assists. He's got 8 assists in the past 8 games. It's just embarrassment of riches on that Colorado blue line that they have Kale McCarr and Devon Taves and Samuel Girard. And Bowen Byram is he's hurt right now, but also another player out of that mold, a guy who's going to be able to transport the puck up and down the ice and help them drive play. And it's been working for Colorado. And in any case, from Monday's game, Wild winger Jordan Greenway on the ice for 3 goals against, and Colorado defenseman Devon Taves on the ice for 3 goals for during 5-on-5 play. Arizona wins 5-2 at Los Angeles, and leading the way for the Coyotes, left winger Michael Bunting had a hat trick. He's been called up from the American Hockey League. He now has 4 goals and an assist in 4 games. Pretty surprising performance, I would say, from the former Sault Ste. Marie junior. Arizona defenseman Alex Goligoski had a couple of assists. He's got 8 points in the past 7 games. He wasn't contributing hardly anything. And then as his name started to get into into the trade rumor mill, Goligoski picked up his offensive game, and now I don't know that Arizona's going to be inclined to deal now that they're in a playoff spot. Arizona right winger Connor Garland had a couple of assists. Arizona defenseman Jacob Chychrun had a couple of assists, one game after scoring a hat trick. So a nice productive stretch there for Chychrun. Rock Auto is an online parts source where you can get just about anything for any kind of vehicle. And RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or for your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. Same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at players that are going to be unrestricted free agents on the teams that are out of the playoff picture, or at least on the outside looking in at the moment. We'll start with the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are 5 points back of Nashville for that final playoff spot in the Central, and Columbus has played one more game, so the math is not looking very good for them. Probably the most in-demand player on the Blue Jackets will be defenseman David Savard, right-shot defenseman. Is a $4.25 million cap hit, but lots of experience playing in a defensive role. Can put him in your top four, and given where Columbus is as a team, it doesn't make sense for them to try and retain David Savard. So expect him to move, and then it's a matter of whether what kind of return they can extract. And because there should be several teams interested, they might get a pretty decent return for David Savard, a guy who has become fairly one-dimensional as a defender. He doesn't contribute a whole lot offensively anymore. Also, left winger Nick Foligno, team captain, cap hit of $5.5 million, isn't the easiest to move. He has 15 points in 40 games, and so he fits sort of in a middle six role. But Foligno, in addition to what he can provide offensively, also plays a physical game that probably would play well in the playoffs. It's just a matter of whether or not he wants to move on to a new location. Another center, Riley Nash, could fit in as a fourth-line center. He's a little expensive as a fourth-line center, $2.75 million cap hit, has 7 points in 37 games. Not a huge fantasy impact for sure. His kind of best moments in terms of fantasy were back when he was in Boston, and he would fill in for Patrice Bergeron on the top line every now and then. Michael Delzato, the veteran defenseman, could get moved. He's only on a $700,000 cap hit contract, so easy to slide into a team that looking for a seventh or eighth defenseman. And Mikhail Grigorenko, who they brought over from Russia this season, he has 7 points in 19 games. Doesn't seem that it has worked particularly well with John Tortorella, but Grigorenko, I also don't know that there's going to be huge demand for him around the league either. All right, so Detroit. Now, there's a team who is quite clearly out of the playoff race. They're 10 points back, having played one more game than Nashville. Maybe the most in-demand for the Red Wings would be goaltender Jonathan Bernier. Now, he's injured at the moment, so you need that to get sorted out. But he has a .918 save percentage in 18 games this season. If you're a contending team that's looking for a solid backup, a guy who could win you games in the playoffs if you need him to start, Bernier, I think, would fit the bill. There's defenseman Mark Stahl. Now, Stahl has a hefty contract, $5.7 million. Almost certainly the Red Wings would have to retain salary. It would be retain salary and then probably take some salary back in order to make that kind of move. But you know, there may still be some hockey men who like the idea of Mark Stahl on the blue line. Patrick Nemeth, $3 million cap hit, has 8 points in 39 games, plays not an entirely different game than Stahl. They're both very defensive nature, I might even be inclined to just take Nemeth instead. Center Luke Glendening is making $1.8 million, should be a fourth line. Center has 11 points in 38 games. The trick here will be whether your team overpays for Luke Glendening. It's fine if you're grabbing him to be a fourth line center or a 13th skater for the playoffs, but also treat that asset accordingly when you're acquiring him. Right winger Bobby Ryan has a $1 million cap hit, so he'd be easy to move. He has 14 points in 33 games, which is okay, but you know, we'll see whether or not there's enough demand. I think Ryan would become a fallback position for teams that don't get other scoring wingers, and it does seem that there are enough scoring wingers on the market, at least right now. Others on the Detroit roster, you know, John Merrill, the defenseman, Sam Gagne, the veteran forward. Gagne has 9 points in 28 games. I don't think there's going to be a huge demand for that. Darren Helm, Valtteri Filppula are probably not moving on anywhere else. The New York Rangers. Now, the Rangers, they're only 5 points back of Boston, but they've also played two more games. And I do think it's unlikely that they're certainly not that they're going to be adding. And they don't really have a ton to move in terms of pending unrestricted free agents. There's left winger Phil DiGiuseppe, who is on a $700,000 minimum contract. He has 8 points in 26 games. Now, could he move to a team that is looking for, you know, just very inexpensive forward depth? Sure, but there's not a ton of appeal there. And Brendan Smith, who has the defenseman who has 6 points in 30 games, but he also has $4.35 million cap hit. And that's, you know, way more than teams are going to want to pay for Brendan Smith. So I would be surprised if the Rangers found a taker for Brendan Smith. And if they found somebody who would take Phil DiGiuseppe, I can't imagine they would get a whole lot in return. To New Jersey, 12 points back, having played one more game than Boston. Kyle Palmieri may be the bell of the ball as we head towards the trade deadline. Now, Palmieri hasn't had a great season so far. He has 17 points in 34 games, but he's been a pretty consistent 25-goal scorer in previous seasons. And so I think you can, if you're a contending team and you need somebody to play in a top six role and give you some power play minutes, I think Kyle Palmieri is a pretty good bet. Defenseman Ryan Murray. Now, there hasn't been a ton of talk about Murray being traded, but he's also a veteran defenseman with a $4.6 million cap hit whose contract is expiring and will be unrestricted. He has 10 assists in 28 games this year. It's not bad. And really, the whole history of Murray in the league is that he's generally a pretty effective defenseman when he plays. The problem is he's almost always getting hurt. And so I still think that if the Devils are open to it, that they could find a market for Ryan Murray. Travis Zajac, the veteran center who you know, may not want to move. He may just decide he wants to finish things up in New Jersey. He has 17 points in 32 games this season, a pretty nice contribution. The Devils have sort of needed more probably from Zajac than they had hoped, because Nico Hischier has missed most of the year. But you could certainly, if Zajac is willing to move, there would be playoff teams who could find a spot for him as like a third line center. Defenseman Sami Vatanen, who got moved at the deadline last year and then came back and re-signed in New Jersey, and maybe they'll try that again, at least the moving him for draft pick part or prospects, or you know, Jani Kukkonen, who came up from Carolina in that deal, is now part of that Devils roster and looks like he has some promise. And certainly if the Devils could repeat that kind of thing, that would be probably something they would try. I'm not sure that Vatanen's play this year is going to help them, but possible. Same goes for Dmitry Kulikov, who's on an inexpensive contract, but defensive depth at the best. And then in goal, they've got Aaron Dell and Scott Wedgwood, both on very inexpensive contracts. And while neither one is going to be a real impact player on a playoff team, you could see teams that just want to shore up their goaltending depth so they don't get completely unhinged if there are injuries in the playoffs. And if you're the Devils, if you can get any kind of value in return for Dell or Wedgwood, that's probably worthwhile. Now, Buffalo. Yep, believe it or not, the Sabres might be selling. They're 22 points back, having played two more games than Boston. Taylor Hall has a chance to be a big ticket item, but it's going to be tough. You know, if the Sabres are going to hold to wanting a first round pick plus maybe more, then it might be hard to get somebody to take Hall because he scored 2 goals in 37 games. And so, yes, his value should not always be tied into goals because Hall, you know, drives play and creates chances and all that. There is value in all of that, but 2 goals in 37 games is that's tough to overlook. And he also has a cap hit of $8 million. And so there will be some financial arrangements to be made if you're going to squeeze Taylor Hall into your lineup. But you could certainly see that contending teams might see Hall as a guy who could push them over the top. Defenseman Brandon Montour, a guy who could move, is a cap hit of $3.85 million. Does have 12 points in 35 games. He's, I would say, suspect at times defensively. But you can see how he would be able to help a team, at least in a depth role. And then goaltender Linus Ullmark. Talked about Jonathan Bernier being a valuable backup, and Ullmark would fall in that same category. He has a .921 save percentage in 16 games this season. Missed some time with injury, but Ullmark, if you were a contending team and wanted to make sure you had your number two goaltending spot locked up, Ullmark would be a pretty good option. Then there's veteran center Riley Sheahan on a minimum deal. Has 8 points in 36 games. Is probably, you know, at best 13th forward on a playoff team. Then you've got goaltender Carter Hutton, winger Tobias Reeder, defenseman Matt Irwin, all kind of guys who are nearly depth players on Buffalo, which doesn't really fit into a great spot on the depth chart of a playoff team if you're kind of at the low end of Buffalo's depth chart. All right, to the North Division, where we have Vancouver, who they're going to be an interesting team to watch because now they're 8 points back of Montreal, having played two more games, so it doesn't really appear that Vancouver can contend. At the same time, they're in the midst of a COVID hiatus that could threaten their season, and maybe they'll be back in a couple of weeks and be able to kind of pick things up, but they're going to go into the trade deadline with a whole lot of uncertainty now. So who do they have that are pending free agents? They got Jimmy Vesey, who they had just picked up on waivers from Toronto. Same goes for Travis Boyd, who hasn't even made it into a game for the Canucks yet, but he's out there, and actually he had played all right in limited action for the Maple Leafs. Brandon Sutter, veteran forward, might have enough of a reputation in the league that someone would be interested, but also a cap hit of $4.375 million, and that's tough, given what his contributions are at this point. Travis Hamonic, the defenseman, you can certainly see that teams would be interested. I think the question is whether or not Hamonic would want to go. He's seemed to be fairly insistent on wanting to stay in Western Canada, and if that's what he would like, then that narrows the field very quickly. There's Tanner Pearson, the veteran winger, who's been injured for the last while. Now, the Canucks should be trying to trade Tanner Pearson. It doesn't make sense for a team in their situation to be trying to commit to Pearson long term, but he's also been hurt, and it's not easy to move a guy who's been out of the lineup. There's veteran Alexander Edler, has a no move clause. I'm going to guess that Edler would prefer to just finish out his contract with the Canucks, but you know, never know. Maybe a team would be able to convince him. Veteran defenseman Jordy Benn is out there, and for teams needing defensive depth, he would also be an option. To the Calgary Flames, who are 8 points back of a playoff spot behind the Montreal Canadiens, but they've also played five more games. And so that seems just about impossible to come back. Center Derek Ryan could be a decent fourth line option for a contender. His cap hit of $3.125 million is a little high, but not unmanageable if the Flames retain salary and take a salary back or something in order for Ryan to fit in. There's left winger Josh Levo, who's only managed 6 points in 32 games. Makes $875,000. I'm not sure there's going to be a huge market for him, but he's there. Brett Ritchie, Joakim Nordstrom, defenseman Michael Stone, and Nikita Nesterov. None of those are the most appealing moves. I think if the Flames are really going to get into a serious breakdown where they talk Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan and players of that ilk, well, then the trade market becomes a whole lot different. But for players on expiring deals, there's not a lot there. Ottawa, who are 13 points back of Montreal, having played four more games. Now, the good news for Ottawa is this is no surprise. They've known that they've been in, they're going to be in a rebuilding situation. So Ryan Zingel, whose cap hit is $3.375 million, has 12 points in 25 games overall, but got a bit of more of an opportunity to play for Ottawa than he was getting in Carolina. And that might be enough for Ottawa to turn around and get a draft pick for Zingel. And now, again, he's the type of winger who might be a fallback position for teams that, you know, might hold out hope of getting Palmieri or Taylor Hall. If they can't get those guys, then maybe Ryan Zingel gives them a little bit of insurance that if, okay, we need some secondary scoring, he still can do that. Also, there's defenseman Mike Riley, who's had quietly a very good season in Ottawa. It's kind of, you know, you get lost when you're not putting up flashy numbers, but you're doing, you know, really good defensive work on a team that's not very good. And Riley, he hasn't scored any goals this year, but he has 17 assists in 37 games, and the puck moves the right way with him on the ice. And with a cap hit of $1.5 million, unless Ottawa decided that they were going to keep Riley around on a shorter-term deal, which maybe they would, but if that's not happening, then there should be teams who are interested in Mike Riley for defensive depth. Eric Goodbranson and Braden Coburn are also options there, although I'm not sure how appealing. And center Artemi Nisimov, he's got a cap hit of $4.55 million, which is going to be difficult to fit in given what his contributions could be at this stage of his career. He has 8 points in 16 games during the season. All right, and to the West, where Los Angeles is out of the race, it seems. Having just lost to Arizona, they're now 9 points back of the Coyotes. They do have two games in hand. They've played two fewer games than Arizona, but Los Angeles also just doesn't have a ton of players on expiring deals. You got left winger Alex Iafallo, and his deal is pretty reasonable, $2.425 million, and he has 23 points in 36 games, plays a lot with Andrei Kopitar on the top line. If the Kings were to keep Iafallo, and they might, I would suspect that there would be a sort of not long-term deal. And I'm not, because I don't know that Iafallo is the type of player that would command a long-term deal in unrestricted free agency. Like, I don't think teams are lining up to give him 6 or 7 years. Now, a 3-year deal, like would the Kings, you know, find some agreement on 3 years with Iafallo because they've been pretty happy with what he does for them? Maybe. But if that can't be worked out, you would suspect there are other teams who can see Iafallo fitting in a variety of spots in their lineup, and maybe not necessarily on their top line, but in second and third line roles too. Also, Anaheim, they're well back. They're 14 points back of a playoff spot, having played the same number of games as Arizona. Now, their unrestricted free agent group, you've got defenseman Yanni Hakanpää, he has one assist in 39 games, but he's a pretty, you know, solid defensive defenseman who will hit and block shots and makes a minimum salary. Ben Hutton, same, makes $950,000. In both cases, you could see a team adding them just for organizational depth, like maybe as a seventh defenseman on a playoff team. Carter Rowney, who's on LTIR right now, a big checking forward. If you had some idea that Rowney would be healthy, you could see teams maybe being interested there. Now, Ryan Getzlaf, you know, who has control over whether he moves or not, also has a cap hit of $8.25 million, which would be really tough for most teams to add. And Getzlaf has 15 points in 36 games. I mean, he's just not the Ryan Getzlaf that he was for so many years. And so I think it would be tough to even find a move that works for Getzlaf, let alone one that Getzlaf finds appealing. And then same for Ryan Miller. At this stage of his career, Miller hasn't played all that well for Anaheim this season anyway, and I don't imagine that there are teams who want him for their playoff push. And now the thing is, other teams in that division, San Jose's 5 points back, but they've played two fewer games, and so you kind of have to think they're still in it. If between now and the trade deadline they slip a little bit, well, then maybe Marcus Sorensen and Devin Dubnyk are, you know, the more likely players to move. St. Louis has just been sinking like a stone. They're 5 points back of Arizona, having played one fewer game. They would have to still be considered in it. But again, if they fell a little further off the pace this week, then their forwards that are unrestricted, you got Jaden Schwartz, Tyler Bozak, Mike Hoffman. I mean, those are some significant names. If the Blues, and particularly considering Hoffman was a recent healthy scratch, you know, maybe that's something that could move the needle on deadline day. If the Blues were to say, yeah, you know what, we're moving on from the likes of Hoffman, Schwartz, and Bozak, that would shake things up a little bit. And Philadelphia, they're 3 points back now. My suspicion is that they're not getting into that race because who can trust their goaltending at this point? 3 points back of Boston, having played two more games. You can question whether they're still in it. If they aren't, well, they have a few unrestricted free agents. There's Scott Laughton, and Laughton would seem to be one who would be in demand. He's in his mid-20s, plays a physical game. You can put him on your third line. He can play center. He can play wing. There are lots of ways that could work for a bunch of teams, which then means that Philadelphia might actually extract some pretty good value if they decide to move Scott Laughton. At the same time, I think the Flyers might look at Laughton and think that's a guy who's meant to be a Flyer. And so you'd have to kind of weigh that out if you're Philadelphia. Then they've got Michael Roffel, defenseman Erik Gustafsson, who really didn't work out. And then goaltender Brian Elliott, who hasn't played well this season anyway. That will do it. There's our trip through the non-contenders and who they have that are pending free agents heading towards next Monday's trade deadline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football and college basketball are over. The NBA and the NHL are in full swing, and Major League Baseball is now here. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON. At BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. I'm going to give you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long and dynasty leagues, as well as DFS. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And send me your questions. I'm at @ByScottCullen on Twitter. Show is at @LO_FantasyNHL on Twitter. If you want to fire off an email, send it to LockedOnFantasyHockey@gmail.com. And so, each episode, I choose one player rostered in 5% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Maybe a player you need to keep an eye on for the future, or maybe you need to race to the waiver wire to get them. Either way, they're likely available. Today, we're going to go with Ottawa Senators winger Connor Brown, who has 4 goals and 1 assist during a 4-game goal-scoring streak. And he gets ample opportunity in Ottawa, and that's half the battle when you're looking for value, is you need a guy who's going to get ice time, and Brown does get significant ice time there. He's also rostered in just 2% of Yahoo leagues. Now, understandable, maybe the ceiling on Connor Brown isn't particularly high, but if you need somebody to fill in, give you a couple weeks of productivity on the wing, Connor Brown is still out there. Now, let's look at some injury updates, and there are some pretty significant ones from Monday, and that starts with Montreal right winger Brendan Gallagher. Suffered a broken thumb against Edmonton. It looks like it's going to be weeks before he's ready to return. This is as much as Gallagher, scores a decent amount for Montreal, and particularly at even strength, he does really well, but he doesn't have gaudy point totals because he doesn't get the opportunity so much to pad his numbers on the power play. People might not realize just how much the Canadians depend on Brendan Gallagher. And so they may find out fairly quickly here that line that Montreal depends on so much with Philippe Deneau and Tomáš Tatar and Brendan Gallagher, well, now they're going to have to find someone to fill those minutes on the right side. And that's a big loss for Montreal. And at the same time, Carey Price appears to have an undisclosed injury, not traveling with the team to Toronto, so he's not going to play against the Maple Leafs on Wednesday. You can say that Carey Price is not living up to what his reputation is. He's not playing at the level of his reputation, which is, his reputation around the league, that you still have people who talk about him as the best goaltender in the league, and, well, his numbers don't bear that out. At the same time, I think if you're Montreal, you would rather have the choice whether you're going to play Carey Price or not. And so if he's out, that leaves a lot to Jake Allen. But the Habs, if Price is actually going to miss significant time, well, then they've got Charles Lindgren and Caden Primo who might be able to give them some adequate backup behind Jake Allen. In Boston, goaltender Yaroslav Halak has landed on the COVID-19 list. And with Tuukka Rask already out, it is now Daniel Vladar season for the Bruins. I don't know how eager the Bruins should be for that, and maybe that changes the calculation for teams who are chasing the Bruins. But maybe that changes the Bruins' plans heading towards the trade deadline. I mean, I think it'll probably depend on how long Halak is expected to miss. Well, he's on that COVID-19 list. Pittsburgh winger Brandon Tanev is week to week with an upper body injury. That's a fairly significant loss for a guy who scores a little bit, but also puts up huge hit and block shot numbers for a winger. And so even for fantasy managers, Brandon Tanev can be a significant loss. Also, Arizona defenseman Jordan Osterley out with an undisclosed injury. Is a little tough there. So now let's take a look at the NHL schedule for Tuesday on betonline.ag. We'll start New Jersey Devils. They're -145 at home against Buffalo. The Devils are one of the few teams that the Sabres have been able to beat. And so that's why I guess this line isn't too far out of reasonable range. I have New Jersey -150. So kind of in the same ballpark. If New Jersey is continuing to sit out Kyle Palmieri, that also, you know, gives Buffalo a slightly better chance. The Rangers -119 against Pittsburgh. Now this is a fascinating one because the Rangers aren't in playoff position, but they've sort of been storming back lately. And you know, Mika Zibanejad, who had done nothing for the first 30 games of the season, has now been really pushing forward, and the Rangers offense the past 2-3 weeks is kind of second in the league behind Colorado, and if they can kind of continue with that explosiveness with Igor Shestyorkin in net, the Rangers could be, maybe they make a late charge to climb into a playoff spot, or at the very least they can play spoiler, because they're still going to be kind of building on this team and trying to establish some long-term value. If they have to, finish this season strong and they just come short of the playoffs, well, so be it. But I think that they would much rather do that than kind of try and tank this season when they have enough talent that's really not a feasible approach. Tampa Bay is -214 against Columbus, and Columbus is going nowhere fast at this point. I probably don't like paying that premium for Tampa Bay on the road. Boston is -126 against Philadelphia. Now my model has Philadelphia -113. Really a lot of uncertainty over the goaltending, right? Philadelphia's goaltending, I mean, who could trust it? And then in the case of Boston, well, it's Daniel Vladar who's, started like three games. Unless they go with Jeremy Swayman, who's started zero games in the National Hockey League. So goaltending's way up in the air, probably a game to just avoid altogether. New York Islanders are favored -125 at home against Washington. I like Washington a little bit more. This isn't the first time I've fallen on the Washington side of this matchup. I have Washington -111. Now that they've been relatively healthy, they're sort of quietly one of the better teams. Carolina -145. Against Florida, I like Carolina at home, but not by quite that much. I have -130. Then there's Nashville, -155 at Detroit. Nashville has gone from being the team that was expected to be very active at the deadline and moving a bunch of pieces to now it's, well, they're sort of in position, to make the playoffs. You have to kind of like them to win this game at a Detroit team who's not. But at the same time, Detroit has been, they haven't exactly rolled over. Yes, they're going to have one of the worst records in the league, but they're competitive enough. I don't want to pay that kind of premium on Nashville even. Dallas, -111 at Chicago. This is a tough one. Like, Chicago kind of desperately needs the wins if they're going to stay on pace there with Nashville. And at the same time, Dallas is trying to make up a bunch of games. And so they need the wins. They still have a shot at getting into that last playoff spot in their division. And so I give Chicago slightly favored in that game, but not by enough to really love it a whole bunch. And then the last game of the night, we've got San Jose, significantly favored at home against Anaheim. They're -175 on betonline.ag. I have San Jose -170. Anaheim has sort of, they have fallen far enough off that you can expect them to be looking towards next season. And San Jose has sort of surprisingly climbed back into the playoff hunt. So thanks to betonline.ag for those odds. Let's go around and grab some value plays on DFS for Tuesday. Skaters under $5,000 on DraftKings, and we'll go with Pittsburgh center Jared McCann, $4,400 at New York Rangers. McCann has just been great ever since Evgeny Malkin got hurt, and the Penguins needed somebody to come in and be their second-line center. And McCann has been that guy. He has 6 goals and 11 points in the past 12 games, I believe. So happy to get him at that price. Also, Washington center Evgeny Kuznetsov, $4,900 at the Islanders. Kuznetsov got off to a terrible start this season, but his past month or so has really been kind of back to point per game type of player that you expect him to be. Philadelphia winger Travis Konecny is $4,300 against Boston. As I mentioned, there's uncertainty about the goaltending for Boston, and at the same time, Konecny has picked up his game. I believe he has 16 points in his past 18 games. Not bad at all. San Jose right winger Kevin LeBanc is $4,200 against Anaheim. He doesn't put up huge numbers, but I think he has 9 points in the past 14 games, and LeBanc plays top-line minutes for the Sharks. And so against an Anaheim team that is pretty suspect, that's not bad. Islanders winger Anthony Beauvillier is $4,300 against Washington. Another guy who got off to a really tough start this season, but in the past, you know, say 3 weeks, Beauvillier has picked up his offensive game and is now a little bit more of a contributor. On the blue line, Columbus' Zach Werenski. Now, he's going against Tampa Bay, so that's not ideal, but Werenski's game has gotten a little bit better after he got off to a slow start. And San Jose defenseman Erik Karlsson, also $4,400 against Anaheim. As mentioned, Anaheim seems to be kind of fading away here. And Karlsson has 4 points in his past 6 games. You know, we're not getting vintage Erik Karlsson, but we're not paying for vintage Erik Karlsson at $4,400 either. And then in goal, maybe Buffalo goaltender Linus Ullmark, if we're looking for a bargain, is $7,200 at New Jersey. And, you know, the Sabres, they're underdogs against everybody, of course. But if there's a team that they, you know, might have a chance of playing tough and possibly winning against, it would be New Jersey, and particularly New Jersey missing Nico Hischier, missing Kyle Palmieri. You know, maybe there's an opportunity there that Ullmark, who's played well this season, .921 save percentage, that he could give you some value. Anyway, that will do it for today. Enjoy the games. Check out my work on The Athletic and McKean's Hockey, as well as Scott Cullen hockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We've got games. And so now I've got 2 seasons going at once. Find these podcasts. Subscribe. Maybe drop in a 5-star rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey. Wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.